This article is brought to you by the best-selling booksy Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to use anchoring and bracketing techniques to move parties toward agreement. A practical mediation method for closing the gap between opposing positions. In short, anchoring sets the opening reference point in a negotiation. Bracketing uses both anchors to define a movement range and invites parties to meet in the middle. Together, these two mediation techniques give a mediator a concrete, structured method for breaking positional deadlock and creating forward movement. Set anchors early, then reality test each one privately before using them. Propose bracketing only when both parties have shown at least some flexibility. Use precise, neutral language so neither side feels the process is working against them. Definition: anchoring and bracketing in mediation refers to a two-part technique where the mediator first identifies each party's opening position, the anchor, then proposes a structured exchange of concessions within a defined range, the bracket, to guide both parties toward a mutually acceptable midpoint. I watched a mediation collapse once because nobody managed the numbers. Two managers in dispute over project budget allocation, one had opened at 80%, the other at 20%. Both anchors were on the table. The gap was enormous, and the mediator kept asking open questions about feelings and interests while the figures hardened into walls. After 90 minutes, both parties walked out more entrenched than when they arrived. The mediator had every good intention. What they lacked was a method for working with the numbers themselves. That is where anchoring and bracketing techniques come in. Mediation skills like these sit at the practical heart of moving parties from rigid positions toward real agreement. They do not replace listening or empathy. They give you something to do once the listening is done. This article lays out the full process, including what must be true before you begin, the exact steps to follow, what to say at each turn, and the mistakes that will cost you the agreement if you let them happen. Why positional deadlock is so hard to break. When two parties have stated opening positions, those positions become identity statements. Moving off them feels like losing. The person who moves first feels exposed, as if they have shown weakness. So neither side moves, and the gap stays exactly where it was. This is the specific problem that anchoring and bracketing are built to solve. You are not asking anyone to concede. You are constructing a structure in which both parties can move simultaneously, each one protected by the knowledge that the other is moving to. The psychological shift that creates is enormous. If you have ever tried to simply ask a party to be more flexible, you already know how that lands. It lands as pressure, as a signal that you are siding with the other party. The technique I'm about to walk you through replaces that blunt instrument with a precise one. What must be true before you begin? Jumping into bracketing before the ground is ready will collapse the process. I have seen it happen more than once, and it is difficult to recover from. Three conditions must be in place first. Each party must feel genuinely heard. Not managed, not processed. Heard. If either side is still carrying unexpressed grievance, they will treat your bracketing proposal as a trap. Spend the time it takes in the early stage of mediation to let each party speak fully about what matters to them and why. The practical work of resolving interpersonal tension through empathy is not separate from the technical work of bracketing. It is the foundation. Both anchors must be on the table. You cannot bracket a position you do not know. Each party needs to have stated, clearly, what they are asking for. Vague aspirations do not anchor. Specific numbers or specific outcomes do. You must have held a private session with each party. In mediation, this is called a caucus. Before you propose any bracketing, you need to know, privately, whether each party has any room to move. A bracket proposed in joint session without this knowledge is a gamble. You may push a party into a public corner they cannot escape. The step-by-step process for anchoring and bracketing. Step 1. Establish and name each party's anchor. In the joint session, invite each party to state their position clearly and specifically. Do not let vague language stand. If someone says a fair share, ask them to put a number or a specific outcome to it. Write both positions where both parties can see them, if the setting allows. Your language here is neutral and procedural. I want to make sure I have both positions correctly. Party A, you are asking for X. Party B, you are asking for Y. Is that right? This step does two things. It makes the anchors visible, which starts to make the gap visible too, and it signals to both parties that you're holding both positions equally. Step 2. Acknowledge the gap without judgment. Once both anchors are named, name the gap between them. Do not treat the gap as a problem or as evidence that one side is being unreasonable. Simply describe it. Right now there is a significant distance between those two positions. My job is to help us find out whether there is a range within the distance where both of you can reach agreement. This framing matters. You are not pressuring anyone to move. You are telling both parties that your purpose is to explore the space between the anchors, not to adjudicate which anchor is correct. Step 3. Run a private caucus to reality test each anchor. Separate the parties. In private with each one, ask questions that help them examine their own position. You are not trying to persuade them to give it up. You are helping them think clearly about what staying at that anchor actually means. Useful questions include, what happens if you do not reach agreement today? And is there a point at which you would consider moving? And what would need to be true for that to happen? This is also where you listen for the real interest beneath the stated position. A party anchoring at 80% may actually need 65% to meet a specific operational requirement. Knowing that privately gives you the information you need to propose a bracket that has a genuine chance of landing. For a structured approach to understanding what is really driving the dispute, the DEAL method for resolving workplace tension offers a useful framework to apply during this caucus stage. Step 4. Propose the bracket. Return to the joint session. You are now going to propose a bracketing exchange. The bracket you propose should sit between the two anchors and be structured so that the midpoint is somewhere both parties could realistically accept. Here is the script I have used and refined over many years. I want to propose something to both of you. I'm not asking either of you to agree to a final number right now. What I'm asking is whether each of you would be willing to make a simultaneous move. Party A moves from X to A, and party B moves from Y to B. If both of you are willing to make that move at the same time, we are now working within a much smaller range, and I believe we can find an agreement from there. The key phrase is simultaneous move. Neither party is going first. Neither party is showing weakness. Both are moving together within a defined structure. Step 5. Manage the reaction. Both parties will likely hesitate. That is normal and healthy. Do not rush to fill the silence. Let them sit with the proposal. If one party rejects the bracket outright, go back to caucus. Find out what would need to change for the bracket to become acceptable. Sometimes the midpoint needs to shift. Sometimes one party needs to hear, privately, that the other side is genuinely willing to move before they will commit. If both parties accept the bracket, confirm it clearly and immediately. So we are now working within a range of A to B. Let us keep moving. Step 6. Use the bracket to create momentum. Once inside the bracket, you have a much smaller gap to work with. Repeat the process. Acknowledge the new anchors. Reality test privately if needed. Propose a second bracket, tighter than the first. Each round of bracketing builds momentum. The parties have already demonstrated that they can move. The psychological cost of moving again is lower than the first time. This is where agreements actually form. When unmet needs are driving the conflict, you may need to surface those interests explicitly during this stage before proposing the next bracket. Step 7. Confirm and close. When the gap is small enough that a final agreement is visible, name it explicitly and get verbal confirmation from both parties before moving to any written record. It sounds as though you are both close to an agreement at figure or outcome. Before we go any further, I want to hear from each of you that this is something you can genuinely accept, not just something you can live with for now. That last distinction matters. An agreement that a party merely tolerates will not hold. You want real commitment, and the language you use at the close should invite it. Adapting the process for high conflict disputes. When the emotional temperature is high, the standard process needs adjustment. High conflict parties often treat any movement as a signal of defeat, and they are watching each other closely for signs of weakness. In these situations, do not bring both parties into joint session until you have done extensive work in individual caucus. You may run 3 or 4 rounds of private shuttle work before the bracket is ready to be proposed jointly. This approach, sometimes called shuttle diplomacy, keeps the party separated while you carry information between them. The bracket itself should be introduced in writing in high conflict mediations, not verbally. A written bracket removes the possibility of misquotation and gives both parties time to consider it without the pressure of the other person's presence. When you return to joint session, you're confirming a bracket both parties have already reviewed privately. For conflicts that have hardened over time and damaged the working relationship, The repair work needed before bracketing can succeed is significant. The guidance on rebuilding trust after unresolved tension speaks directly to what the repair requires. If you are mediating conflict during a live meeting rather than in a dedicated session, the constraints are tighter. You will not have the luxury of a full caucus process. The techniques in handling conflict during meetings can help you manage the immediate moment while you arrange a proper mediation session. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where mediators go wrong with these techniques. Four mistakes account for most of the bracketing failures I have witnessed. The mistake: proposing the bracket before both parties feel heard. Why it happens: the mediator wants to move to the practical work and skips the emotional groundwork. What to do instead? Check your own impatience. If either party is still venting or justifying their position loudly, you're not ready for bracketing yet. The mistake: proposing a bracket whose midpoint clearly favours one party. Why it happens: the mediator privately believes one party is right and unconsciously skews the bracket. What to do instead? Before proposing any bracket, ask yourself honestly whether the midpoint sits genuinely between the two anchors. If it does not, recenter it. The mistake: letting an extreme anchor stand without reality testing it. Why it happens: the mediator does not want to seem to challenge either party's position. What to do instead? In private caucus, ask gently: if the other party held to their current position, what would your next step be? This surfaces whether the anchor is real or tactical without confronting it directly. The mistake: introducing bracketing in a group setting with more than two stakeholders before running the process bilaterally first. Why it happens: the mediator tries to run an efficient joint session. What to do instead? In multi-party disputes, always identify the two primary decision makers and run the bracketing process with them before bringing the wider group back in. The deal method for fracturing team conflicts offers a useful structure for managing the broader team dimension. To stay personally grounded when the tension spills into your own composure, the core framework for tense workplace conversations is worth having ready. Your pre-mediation readiness checklist. Use this before you enter any mediation where you intend to apply anchoring and bracketing techniques. Number 1. Both parties have had uninterrupted time to state their position and their concerns in full. Number 2. You have held a private caucus with each party and know their real flexibility range. Number 3. Both opening anchors have been stated specifically, not vaguely. Number 4. You have identified a credible midpoint that neither party would consider obviously unfair. Number 5. You have prepared your bracketing language in advance and can deliver it neutrally. Number 6. You know whether the dispute has an emotional dimension that needs acknowledgement before any numerical movement is possible. Number 7. You have a plan for what you will do if one party accepts the bracket and the other does not. Number 8. You have confirmed whether this is a high conflict situation requiring subtle only work before any joint session. The distance between positions is not the problem. Here is the truth of it: the gap between two anchors is rarely the real obstacle. Positions can shift. Numbers can move. What keeps people stuck is the fear of being seen to move. That is what anchoring and bracketing techniques address directly. When you construct a bracket, you are not asking anyone to back down. You are building a structure in which both parties can move together with their respect intact. That structure is the mediator's most practical tool. Build it carefully, propose it at the right moment, and use the language that makes it feel safe. Their agreement will follow. Anchoring and bracketing work because they respect both parties need to be treated fairly, and that respect is what earns agreement. Frequently asked questions. What is anchoring and bracketing in mediation? Anchoring and bracketing are mediation techniques used to move parties toward agreement. Anchoring sets an initial reference point that shapes how both sides perceive the negotiation range. Bracketing pairs an offer and a counteroffer to identify a midpoint both parties can move toward. How do you use anchoring and bracketing techniques in a workplace dispute? Start by letting each party state their opening position, which sets the anchor. Then propose a bracketing exchange, where each side makes a simultaneous concession toward a defined midpoint. This removes the fear of moving first and gives both parties a face-saving path to agreement. When should a mediator introduce bracketing in a negotiation? Introduce bracketing when parties are stuck at fixed positions and direct offers have stalled. It works best after both anchors are on the table and the mediator has tested each party privately for flexibility. Bracketing gives both sides a structured way to move without appearing to concede unilaterally. What is the difference between anchoring and bracketing in conflict resolution? Anchoring establishes the opening reference point in a negotiation, shaping perceptions of what is reasonable. Bracketing is the technique that uses those anchors to propose a movement range, inviting both parties to meet closer to the middle through a structured, simultaneous exchange of concessions. Can anchoring and bracketing work in emotionally charged disputes? Yes, but emotional temperature must be managed first. If parties are still venting or feel unheard, bracketing will be rejected as premature. A mediator needs to acknowledge each side's concerns and run a private caucus before introducing bracketing proposals to ensure both parties are ready to consider movement. What mistakes do mediators make when using bracketing techniques? The most common mistakes are introducing bracketing too early, before trust is established, and proposing a midpoint that clearly favours one party. Mediators also err by letting one party anchor extremely without reality testing that figure privately, which can harden the other side and collapse any chance of agreement. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.